Getting ready. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And I'm also a volunteer with Better Investing. And today I am here with a group of my friends sharing our investing story, but in particular with Byron J. Williams. And so we're going to share a little bit about the organization, and then we're going to put on our seatbelts and strap ourselves in so we can take a ride with Byron as he shares his wonderful investing story, especially the part where he talks about his helping other investment clubs and especially individuals to learn the value of investing. But let me tell you a little bit about who we are. We are, as Better Investing, an organization that was established in 1951 with over 5 million people who have learned investment education from this wonderful organization entitled Better Investing, also known by some as the National Association of Investors Corporation. The organization is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization that has helped people to learn how to invest profitably in stocks of high-quality growth companies. We also support investment clubs through our online tools and our monthly magazines. So I'm also here with my co-host, Ms. Iona McNeil. Iona, if you want to give everybody a Iona McNeil shout-out, please.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. And Byron, what I'd like to do, I'm going to share with all of our listeners a little bit, just a little bit about who you are. But I think that I could not do your story justice without having you to begin to share. So we can talk about the fact that Byron was born and raised on the Chicago South Side. So that says a lot about you already. And he currently resides in Chicago. But Byron, if you were to tell us a little about yourself, go ahead and begin to share. And we have lots of people who are listening in, and we want to encourage those who are listening in live on Facebook. Please give us your questions in the chat. And if you're listening to us on Zoom, please give us your questions also in the chat and the comments. And we will be glad to have Byron share with us his answer to the questions. This is going to be a very exciting show. Byron has been an adjunct professor with the City College of Chicago for several years and has taught computer science classes at his alma mater, Olive Harvey, as well as Kennedy King. And as I was reading through your bio, you have done a lot in the area of technology. So can you share with us, how did you get here? Let's go all the way back to the beginning in terms of how were you introduced to Better Investing and what motivated you to start on this journey in the first place?
Okay. Thank you, Ann. Can everybody hear me pretty good?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you, Ann, for inviting me out. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my journey. It all started back, you know, in terms of investing, even before I talk about my education. I was maybe about 25 years old, and I was on the way out of the house, and my mother said, "Hey, have you done your taxes yet?" And I said, "No, I haven't, you know, went to the guy to pay him to get your taxes." And she said, "What do you mean you haven't went to go pay somebody to do your taxes?" And my mom is really wise. She said, "It's not like you have anything." I'm like, wait a minute, I've been working. I'm on my first job. But what I found out what she meant by that. So she says, "I tell you what, doing the family taxes, I'm doing your father taxes. Bring yours by, you know, we'll sit down and we'll do them together." So I went by the next day. I had my taxes. I had all my forms and everything. And I had been working out of a junior college, Olive Harvey. I've been working for about 4 years. at AT&T Bell Laboratory as an entry engineer with a 2-year degree. And so I sit down and she's showing me how to do these taxes and she's asking me for my W-2 form. I'm like, here's my W-2 form. Then she says, where's your 1099 INT form? I said, oh, 1099 what? She said, a 1099 interest form. I said, I don't know what that is, Mom. She said, oh, it's the form. She said, you understand interest, right? Yeah, interest is what you pay, you know, what I'm paying on my car. You know, I pay my car note every month. I got interest. And she just starts shaking her head. She says, no, interest is also the money that you make off the money that you have in your bank account. They send you a 1099 INT form. I said, they never sent me one. So she says, probably because you never left your money in the bank long enough to get one. All right. And so when you think, when I sat and I thought about that, here's my mom, and she worked out of the household raising 4 kids. My father was the CEO of the house, and mom was the CFO.
Aww.
So the very lesson that she taught me was powerful. She said, let me tell you something. Your father has never made as much as you make today, and he raised a family of 4. It just humbled me beyond belief. I sat there and I said, I'm making $19,000. This was in 1990. I was making about $19,500. Dad's W-2 form, it said $19,000. I didn't have a penny saved. I didn't have anything to show for it. I didn't even know what a 1099 INT form was. That was my awakening. You know, you heard Akari talking about, you know, a come to Jesus moment. You know, whatever your religious belief is, whether it's you're Muslim, it's come to Allah, come to Jehovah. If you're an atheist, maybe you just come to yourself. But everyone has to have that moment. And that was really my moment. At that point, I felt so bad about what I have done with my money and the things that I was making, and saw how we may have been poor. We didn't know it. Right. Growing up, you know, we didn't know it. Mom and Dad did a great job. And his mom as CFO did a great job managing what little Dad brought home. So then I learned the valuable lesson. It's not a matter of how much you make. It's a matter of what you do with what you make. And that set me on this journey to figure out this thing called investing. So, my background is a technology background. I've been in corporate America for over 35 years now. From Simeon High School. I often say I didn't graduate magna cum laude, summa cum laude. I graduated, thank you, Lordy. That's how I graduated. I barely got out. Hence, I went to a 2-year college. And at that 2-year college, I learned some very valuable lessons. One was the management of time, the management of money, because, you know, every parent knows their child. And so when I went to college, a 2-year college, it was because I couldn't go anywhere else because I barely got out of high school. Right. So my mother said, either you're going to get a job or you're going to go to school. I was like, okay, that's an easy thing. I've been in school for 4 years, high school, haven't done anything. I'm going to go to school. So I went and I said, Mom, I'm registered at Olive Harvey. It was a community college in the city. And she says, okay, how are you going to pay for it? I'm like, wait a minute, Mom. You said get a job or go to school.
Right.
Now, I was very logical. I said that
right.
Or is not an and. An and combines those two things, but an or means you can do either or, but you don't have to do both. She said, oh, I'm sorry, baby. I meant and. So I had to go get a job. I paid the first tuition, which wasn't much back then, but it was a lot for me. And I didn't go to school for about the first week. The second week I didn't show up. The week I started thinking, I'm not getting anything for my money. So I show up in Dr. Black from math class, algebra class. He says, son, who are you? I said, I'm Byron Williams. He says, you're on my drop list. I said, please don't drop me, sir. He says, you're 2 weeks behind. I said, I'll catch up. And from that point on, I turned the switch. I finished Olive Harvey with a 4.0 grade point average.
Wow.
Went on to work for Bell Laboratories. Spent most of my career at Bell Laboratories. AT&T, Alcatel-Lucent, and then Lucent. Same company, just different names in terms of how the technology companies bought each other out. But I was there for over 30 years of my career. A number of patents, so I'm an inventor, you know, based on the technology that I've learned and the things that I've done. Went on to go get a bachelor's degree from North Central in Naperville. Went on to get a master's degree from IIT. But all of that leads us to the fact that I'm no different than anybody else. I came up through the different vicissitudes of life that everybody else had come up with. And I learned some very key things at some very key moments in my life that changed how I thought about myself, the world, and financing. And so that's kind of how I got started in the world of financing. At any given time, stop me because I can go on and on. But that's sort of a background of who I am, where I come from. My first investments were in what they call dividend reinvestment programs.
Yes, we remember those well.
DRIPs, right? Exactly.
Right.
And so I didn't have a lot of money. And so I started off investing $25 in Walgreens stocks. That was the first stock that I purchased was Walgreens, and every month I would buy $25.
Wait, so now I want to make sure all of our listeners can follow, because people are chiming in the chat and asking questions. So help us understand how did you come to better investing, and was that related to the purchase of your first stock?
Okay, better investing didn't happen until 1997.
Okay.
1997 was the first time that we started an investment club. And remind you, I had been investing for 7 years before Better Investing.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
So one thing that my parents taught me is that if it's in a book, you can read it, you can master it. Reading is important. So I had my first stock account, and I had a broker. And the broker would, make some suggestions. And every time the broker was right, he ruha. And every time he was wrong, he wouldn't say anything. Right? One time I was wrong, and he said, had the nerve to say, "I told you so." Pause. I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "I told you not to make that investment." I'm thinking to myself, how many times have you done a bad investment, never acknowledged it, you still got paid commission? I fired him the next day. I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to do this myself. And so I dug in terms of learning about the market. And what I learned is it's not as mystical as people make it out. It's not a mystery. If you invest in no-brainer stocks, stocks that you hear every day in terms of a great company, and you do that on a regular basis for the long haul, you will be financially free. I'm sitting here in this chair saying that because that's exactly what I did. And so in 1997, a group of 15 African-Americans on the south side of Chicago got together to form what is called the Ujamaa Investment Club. Ujamaa is one of the principles of Kwanzaa, which is collective economics, pooling of resources. We got together and said, we're going to learn about this thing. I was the one that had the most experience with stocks. The other ones just knew how to spell it, right? And so what we did is we said, we're going to put $100 in every month. We're going to learn the better investment ways, because it talks about investing in good, solid, on a regular basis for the long haul. The long haul being at least 5 years, right? So we internalized that. I mean, we internalized it to the point where that's what we did. And if you take a look at Ujamaa today, Ujamaa has had a number of members come and go. There's a core set of members, myself and my wife. We are the original Ujamaa. We were down to 5 members about a year ago. We were all in the area of retiring. I had already retired. Other folks were talking about retiring. We had a lot of cash on hand because we wanted to pay people out. And then we found out that nobody wanted to retire yet. And we had a lot of money. So we opened up.
What do you call a lot of cash on hand? Because I know people want these questions. So Ione and I are just going to chime in. And chime in, Ione, when you get ready. But what do you call lots of money on hand?
Well, keep in mind, Ujamaa had been an established investment club since 1997.
Yes.
Our portfolio, February 20th, before the market crashed, was $400,000.
Okay, could you say that one more time?
400K. 400,000, 400,000.
Now,
we were close to being a $500,000 investment club.
And that's
right?
Over 23 years?
Exactly. Of us having membership as big as 15, as small as 3, and expanding and contracting based on people incoming, and putting in $100 a month, right? So we had a sizable portfolio, and we had a sizable cash on hand as well. We had about 80-something thousand dollars in cash on hand, again, because we thought we had to pay out a couple of folks who were going to retire. They didn't retire. We said we need to bring in some new blood. We got some new we opened up our membership role. We got some great young blood coming in. They may have dropped the average age of the club from about 65, maybe to almost 40 now, you know. They came in with a great zeal to learn, a great zeal to ask questions. We were so lax as an investment club, we had to step up our game when they asked questions, because we had stopped doing some of the general principles in terms of managing your portfolio. So the new blood has really excited the entire investment club to the point where we are now getting back into, you know, stock selection guides. We're starting to go in and taking a look at the stock comparison guides. We're training them in terms of how to look at the market, you know, how to invest in the market, and how to do it with a view for not just tomorrow, but long term. You know, investing is a journey. It's not a sprint. You know, I didn't get financially free by sprinting. It took time. It took discipline. It took a great deal of studying in terms of what the market is. And I like to think that, you know, the time I put in was a lot more than I had to put in, because what I've been teaching my nieces and my nephews is just start. You know, investing today is so easy, right? When I started, if a stock costs $500, guess how much I had? $500. Today, if you want to buy Apple, which is about $325, you don't need $325, you need $5, and you can be an investor in Apple.
Could you say that again, please?
Absolutely. You know, the bar is so low in terms of the over-the-top investment tools that are available for you, whether it's Stockpile, Robinhood, Fidelity. All these companies allow you to buy a fractional share. If all you had was $5, you could buy $5 worth of Amazon, and you are now an investor. And so one thing that I had mentioned to Akari when I first met Akari is there are three type of people. They're investors, producers, and then there are consumers. We all are consumers. We all fall into that bucket, period. I don't produce anything in life. I'm not the person who went into the garage, who came up with the idea and became Twitter. I worked for corporate America for 30 years. They produced. I worked. Investor. So if all you are a consumer, you will never be financially free. If you're not producing anything, don't worry. There's a path for you too. You have to invest in that which people are producing so that you could be a part of it. I owned Apple's several years before I ever bought an Apple phone. All my Apple phones came from my nephew. He would upgrade and I'd get the old one. And I was just buying the stock. I was just buying the stock. You know, so I was an investor. So if you're not an investor or if you're not a producer, at least be an investor. So these tools allow us all to be able to open up an account with FX, put $5 in the account. Here's the beautiful thing about it. You can open it with no money. When I opened my first account, I needed to have $3,000 to put it in an account before they opened it. Send me a check. I would never be able to buy Apple or Amazon without having the full amount. And that's what my niece is doing. She's on the call now, and her portfolio is a great portfolio. Her average cost for Apple is $157. Apple is $325. That means that she has 106% gain on her stock, right? And I'm so peacock proud of her. I'll definitely pull her into the conversation to tell you she just went through and rebalanced her portfolio at 13, right? And she'll be able to tell you some of the things she did in terms of rebalancing her portfolio. But investing is easy. It's not hard.
So I sound like we need to have her on as a guest sharing her investing story.
Oh, Madison probably be too shy to do that as a guest. You'll definitely chime in here with Uncle Byron. Right, Madison?
Hi, Madison.
Yes. Yes, I will.
Yeah, you want to let Ione take it over from here because I think the two of you can speak the same language, but she remembers being 13 and also being an investor. So let me introduce you to the baby billionaire, Miss Ione McNeil. Ione?
Hi, Madison. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, yeah, Byron was just telling us that you were balancing your portfolio. Can you talk to us about what rebalancing a portfolio is?
Yes. So I reinvested in the stocks that were doing well at the time, including Amazon, Netflix, and Old Dominion Freight Line. I also sold stocks, which I sold Noodles & Company because it was not doing well. And then I also bought the stocks that were doing well, which were PG and Target.
Nice. So for those that don't know, PG stands for what?
How did she again say?
Madison.
Procter & Gamble.
Right. And what are some of the products that Procter & Gamble owns that we as consumers may know of if we never heard of Procter & Gamble before, but we probably use the product?
Cleaning products.
Like Tide?
Yes, Tide, like Mr. Clean. They have a lot of products like those.
Cool. And how old are you, Madison?
I'm 13.
And what grade are you in?
I just graduated from eighth.
Okay, so you just finished middle school?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So another question I have, because I still want to focus on rebalancing portfolio. So you've been investing for how long now? How many years?
Almost about 2 years.
Oh, and so over the course of the 2 years, you look at all of the companies that you own, and you basically rank them from like a highest performer to a lowest performer, right?
Yes.
Okay. So rebalancing is selling off underperformers and using that money to add to your winning stock, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Another question I have is, were you also keeping in mind the different industries or sectors that are represented in your portfolio?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so talk to us a little bit about what those industries and sectors are that are represented right now in your portfolio.
Some of those are Apple, Amazon, and Netflix, because those are doing like really good right now.
Mm-hmm. And they fall under what category? Technology?
Technology, yes.
Okay. Do you know the name of any other sectors?
No, not at this moment.
Remember the transportation sector. Remember the transportation?
For
I think
Old
that
Dominion.
Was one.
Oh, transportation, which is Old Dominion Freight Line.
Right.
Right. And maybe consumer staple? Or consumer defensive, I think, with Procter & Gamble.
Right.
Cool. So that, for everybody that's listening, the reason we're going in depth is so that you can understand, number one, how important it is to monitor your portfolio. Number two, what rebalancing your portfolio is. And number three, what are the metrics? So some people do it on a performance metrics, which is what Madison did. People do it based on what's called an exposure to risk, or making sure that they have diversification in a lot of different industries. And those industries that a lot of people know of would be industrials. So when, you know, we're hearing the news talking about, oh, we need to invest in infrastructure, infrastructure stocks would be like airlines. Madison owns a lot of technology stocks. She also owns consumer defensive stocks. And then you have finance stocks, communication stocks, and all of those are things we use and do on a daily basis. When you wake up and you go to the bathroom, what are the things you do in that bathroom? All those products you use, more often than not, you touched Procter & Gamble.
Right.
So in essence, you made Madison money every single day. And then, you know, whether you're making your coffee, because I think Procter & Gamble also owns Folgers. So whether you're making your coffee at home, or you're going out to, you know, to buy your coffee, the type of car you're driving, the gas you're putting in the car, the tires that's on the car, if you're listening to Sirius satellite radio or whatever communication station, radio station you're listening to, they're probably public. The phone you use and the service that you use on your phone, the clothes you wear, the shoes you wear, the food you go out to eat, the food you buy at the grocery store to come home to cook. If you just run down every single thing that you did, every single buying decision you did, whether it be once a year, every day, you can easily come up with 30 different companies, and you can start to see what companies own what. When Pepsi did a spinoff of a company called Tricon Global, that's when you used to go and see, well, why is Pizza Hut and KFC and Long John Silver in the same building? Aren't they competitors? No. One, because they're feeding different tastes. Two, because they were all owned by the same company. And then that company went on to be called Yum Brands.
And the point, Ayani, and great, great examples. Every day we walk outside is a day that you can see investments, right? I remember when I first invested in Under Armour. I went to my nephew's baseball game, and I saw this UA. I didn't know what it was. I said, "What is that?" He said, "Oh, that's Under Armour. That's the new Nike." I'm like, "The new Nike." Okay. I went home. I looked at the value
exactly.
line.
Mm-hmm.
I ran it through the Better Investment Guys in terms of stock selection guy. And this was when Under Armour was up and coming. I invested in Under Armour, made a great return on investment before I sold it because they had ran into some issues. But investments happen to you every day you walk out. You just have to change your frequency. And Akari will attest to this because Akari used to watch a lot of ESPN, but now Akari is like me. You know, it's CNBC or nothing, right, in the background. Once you change that frequency, you don't start looking at when you walk outside and when you pick up something. You look at it differently because it's all a matter of being able to invest in things. And, again, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do this. There are some things called no-brainers, which means that you could be as smart or crash dummy. You could have the intelligence of a crash dummy. I'll just put it out there so the goat could get it. You could have the intelligence of a crash dummy. And if you invested $1,000 10 years ago, if you had invested $1,000 in Netflix 10 years ago, that $1,000 just left untouched, talking about reinvesting at all, would be worth $60,000. That's a 600% increase just by investing $1,000. Okay, you didn't have $1,000. Did you have a dollar? Yes, you had a dollar. It's the percentage that matters, not the amount. 600% in 10 years, that's unheard of. The list goes on. Amazon, 200%. Apple, 100%. And these are no-brainers. What I try to do and help people do is demystify all of this and say, just look at the things that you know. If you don't know anything other than what you are using on a daily basis, to your point, buy that, invest in that. And I guarantee you that in 5 to 10 years, you're going to see growth. Why? Because the stock market has always been the best generator of wealth. Not argument. Numbers don't lie. And so all it takes is regular investing in good, solid companies on the loan for a long term. And Madison is 13 years old. My goddaughter's on, Akari's daughter. I asked her last year what she wanted for her birthday. She looked at me and said, "I want some Apple stock." It just warmed my heart. And that's exactly what she got. She got her some Apple stock in her portfolio. So we have to not only help our young folks see this, but regardless of where you are on your journey, you're never too late and you're never too early. You just got to get going. And you don't have to wait to get going. You can open up an account again with no money. There is no excuse. You could buy $5 of any stock you want to on the earth and start becoming, you know, an investor rather than a consumer.
Now, how old is Akari's son, Ayani? How old is Akari's daughter? I just want everybody else.
13.
Madison is 13.
That's the car's daughter, Madison.
Madison is my niece. Akari's daughter. Yeah, yeah. Akari's daughter is much younger than Madison.
Yeah, Asana.
Hi.
How old are you?
Eight.
Hey, Asana, 8 years old.
Can you say that one more time? Because we have a lot of parents and grandparents on here. One more time.
I'm eight.
Awesome. How many socks do you own? Can she share, Akari, what her socks does she own?
I Apple, Fossil, Pasta, Nike, and Starbucks.
Oh my goodness gracious. Do you use those products?
Well, not allowed to use one of them. Starbucks.
Can't use Starbucks. But she likes Starbucks, she likes the shakes. So you gotta limit those shakes.
Awesome.
Yep. Start them off early, and that's the beauty of it. Because again, it's the bar is very low for investing now. It does not take a lot, and you don't have to know anything other than trainers. You know. So my advice to anyone is don't overcomplicate this. You know, make it easy. What I call play small ball. Get on first base. To get that runner over to second base, get him to third base. Don't go up there and try to hit a home run. You know, look at investment clubs. Reach out to the Better Investment family. As Ann said, when I started, it was called the NAIC. It's now the Better Investing. But they have a structure in place to help you understand and be a stock analyst. Everyone in our investment club is a stock analyst based on the tools. And it's not rocket science. Believe me, it's not. And when I fired that guy who told me I told you so, that's what I found out. He didn't have a secret pill, you know. He didn't know anything more than what he learned. And my mother and father already taught me that if it's in a book, you can read it, you can digest it, you can learn it, you can execute it. And so that's how, you know, I wish I could sit up here and tell you that I've got an MBA and I went to, you know, school for how to invest or any of that. None of that. I started from the principle of number one, when you're practicing money financing, the one thing is to realize is that we all have debt, and so one of the lessons that my father taught me is when you finish paying for your car, don't stop paying for your car. I didn't understand that until I got done paying for my car. And then he says, "Okay, what are you going to do with the money?" I don't know. He said, "Keep paying yourself because once you consume it back into your lifestyle, you're not going to be able to get it back out." So to this day, I have a car fund, and that car fund is based on that principle. Once you get through paying for something, don't consume that money back into your lifestyle. If you've got debt, move it toward the next debt. If you don't have debt, move it towards an investment. Right, but don't consume it back into your lifestyle. So these principles of money management are very important to be able to get yourself in a position to invest in good quality stocks for the long haul. And that's kind of how you build financial freedom in terms of the stock market. And it's again, the bar is really easy. Anyone can do it. It's not a hard thing to do.
Yeah, Byron, I think you only have some questions from the audience.
Hey, Byron, one question that a participant asked is, can you go back over some of the they're asking about the platforms, but I'm going to take that to mean the apps available in addition to learning on betterinvesting.org. But what are some of those app platforms that you mentioned before?
Yeah, let me start off by the one that, you know, they – Let me explain the industry real quick. So you have these big names and brokers that you know, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, all these big investment firms. What happens is, you know, innovation is rampant, right? Innovation and disrupting industries is what innovation is all about. Along comes this company called Robinhood. Robinhood is a company that, you know, you take your pennies, and you can buy stock with your pennies. You can buy partial shares. Robinhood blows up. Up comes a company called Stockpile. They allow you to buy partial shares. And that's what Madison has. She can buy partial shares. So now you have a industry that's disrupting the big folks. The big folks are charging you fees, and they're not letting you buy partial shares. So what does the big folks do? The big folks say, wow, there's a market out there. So what did Fidelity do this year? Fidelity said, no more fees, and you can buy partial shares on the website. Using the mobile app. Not on the website, but the mobile app, which is what the younger generation is doing things via mobile, right? And so now the big names like Fidelity have figured it out. So Fidelity has perhaps one of the richest platforms in terms of opening up an account. You can open up an account with no money. You can buy partial shares, and there's no commission fee. You can't beat that. No commission fee. Stockpile charges you 99 cents regardless of the size of the commission. So if Madison bought $10, they're going to charge her a dollar, right? Kind of steep, but that's just how it is. But now Fidelity comes along and says, no, I'm not even going to charge you anything. So Fidelity is a great platform. E-Trade is a great platform, but doesn't allow you to buy partial shares. I would navigate and gravitate towards someone who allows me to buy those partial shares. If I wanted to be an owner of Amazon, I don't want to wait until I get a few thousand dollars. If I got five, I want to be an owner of Amazon, be on record as an investor, be on record as being able to go to and vote for things that happen in the corporation via proxies, be an owner of that company. Robinhood, of course, is one of them. Cash App has the ability to do the same thing with partial shares. I don't know if there's a commission there, but that's another one. So just look at those four. You got Stockpile, you got Robinhood, you got Cash App, and the one I like now, which is really strong, is Fidelity. I use Fidelity for a lot of my major investing. And so it's a great platform. And now what they've done is they just brought themselves down and said, hey, you know what? We're not just going to be for high wealth individuals. We're going to be for anyone who wants to invest in the stock market. And the latest crash of the stock market is an excellent opportunity for those who have never been into the stock market to get in the stock market. As an investor, I have been through a number of different recessions and crashes, the first being 9/11, the next one being the housing market. And I didn't expect to go through this one, but we have one right now. And I can tell you, each time that happened, one thing that Warren Buffett says is that when people are fearful, be greedy. When people are greedy, be fearful. When the market fell on February the 20th, that was when it reached a high. February 21st, everything was downhill based on coronavirus. I sat there, and I was just like anticipating. I cannot wait to put some of this cash to work. Amazon dropped to $1,600. I backed up the truck. I'm buying Amazon. Apple dropped. And now if you took a look at Amazon, it's higher today than it was when it fell on February the 20th. People were fearful. That's when I got greedy, right? And so that's what you have to understand. These cycles come and go. Don't be afraid of a bear market. It's going to happen. If you take a look at a stock market chart, you will see that it's like a heart. It goes up, it goes down. But overall, if you're in it for the long term, you're going to make money. And so this is a great opportunity for people who have not been in the market to start thinking about investing in the market. And you can start with those no-brainers.
Byron, we have another quick question. Just can you touch a little bit about mutual funds and ETFs? And let me just say something before you bring this in. A lot of the times, this is for everybody, whether it be a first time or second time you're asking questions. The reason that we are confident stock investors is because we're all members of Better Investing. Byron is going to get into ETFs and mutual funds, and we all know that some retirement plans may limit you to certain mutual funds and may not allow you to buy stocks. But again, the reason we are confident long-term stock investors is because we're all members of Better Investing. And with that membership comes a dedication to information, understanding what an investor is truly per company. What does it mean? How do we evaluate the stock? We look at 5 to 10 years worth of data, worth of income statements, worth of balance sheets, all in a graphical form. And we are able to invest in companies that have shown a history of being profitable, shown a history of having a high return on investment and return on equity. So I just wanted to say that in the chat because I want to also, like Byron is doing, demystify stock investing and get people comfortable with it because, you know, you can find out the information of ETFs and mutual funds. We all know that they're great. We all know they give you diversification. But I don't know any other organization outside of Better Investing that has really taught you the mastery of being a successful stock, an individual stock investor. So go ahead, Byron.
Yeah, very good setup, Ione, and a great question. If you did nothing else, Warren Buffett says invest in an index fund, period, and leave the money alone and keep investing in it. So if you did nothing else, yes, buy you a mutual fund. And what is a mutual fund? A mutual fund is a vehicle that's made up of a number of different stocks. A mutual fund has a number of different assets. What is an ETF? An ETF trades like a stock, which means you can buy it and sell it every day. It has a closing price. Mutual funds don't have a closing price until the next 24 hours. They're not as liquid as a ETF. ETFs came about, and what they do is they also mimic a particular index. An ETF, if you take a look at the 11 industries that make up the stock market, there are ETFs for each one of those industries. I can go out and buy an ETF for financials. I can buy one for, as Ione said, consumer discretionary, consumer staples, right? Those are ETFs. I have ETFs in my portfolio. Why? Because I really don't know much about energy companies. But guess what? I do know the energy industry I need exposure to because I want a balanced portfolio. So what do? I buy an ETF. And when I buy the ETF in the particular industry, you can also go to Yahoo, type in the ETF or the mutual fund, and look at their top 10 holdings. And this is where it really gets interesting, you all, because what you're going to see is their top 10 holdings will probably be the same top 10 that you would pick if you thought, I wonder what is some of the strongest technology companies. Microsoft. Amazon, Adobe. So now if you can call these off, you have to ask yourself a question. Why am I buying a mutual fund when I can actually go and buy the stock? I don't buy mutual funds. I own a mutual fund. It's called Byron's Portfolio. That's my mutual fund. So I don't touch a mutual fund at all. Why? Because the expense ratios are high. I can understand those top 10 because in every mutual fund, there's also some dogs in the mutual fund. They show you the top 10, but they don't show you the bottom 90, right, or whatever it is that make up that mutual fund because these mutual fund managers are buying things of interest for certain reasons. I don't want the one that's not working. I want the ones that are working. Therefore, I'm going to go buy those individual stocks, and I'm going to create my own mutual fund. So I know a lot of 401k plans. I did a family presentation on 401k plans to help folks understand, number one, the power of 401ks, because, again, I became financially free not because I started my own business. Sorry, I wasn't that wasn't my lane. My lane was I worked for the man, and I did right by my money. Every vehicle that they gave me, I took advantage of, and I mean everyone. I found out what the back doors were to a Roth, and I executed. I found out what the back doors were working with the Kari from 401k plans, and I executed. So I became financially free by working. So in terms of these ETFs and these mutual funds that are in your 401k plan, sometimes you don't have a choice. So you have to go into whatever mutual fund they have, right? But sometimes you have a choice. What empowered my 401k was when I found out that the company would allow me to take my 401k and move it in what they call a self-directed 401k. That means you are responsible for your own demise or surprise. I moved every dime I had out of them mutual funds, plopped it into that self-directed fund, and I built Byron's portfolio. And Byron's portfolio has outranked each of those deadbeat mutual funds over in the 401k. And Byron ain't that smart. Byron just buy good, solid companies on a regular basis and hold on to them. That's how it was done. So yes, mutual funds are great. I don't mess with them. ETFs I do because I want something that trades like a stock, and I want a exposure to certain industries. And ETFs allow me to do that. Hope that answered the question.
That was a wonderful answer because I used to I picked up something from you. I'm going to tell you how I used to describe mutual funds, especially to kids. I would say, you know how you go to the store and you buy that trail mix that's already all in one bag?
Right.
That's what a mutual fund is.
Funny.
That already has the peanuts, the M&Ms, the raisins, the almonds, the cashews, all in that one bag. It's instant diversification.
Right.
But like you say, most people don't know that when you're dealing with a mutual fund, you're paying for the manager. And just like that broker treated you, you're paying for stupidity a lot of the time.
Yep.
You know, with a little bit of education, you can outperform them and you can save your costs. But I'm gonna tell you what I picked up from what you just said. Every black man on this call or listening to this is going to be able to understand it, right? Because I used to say, hey, if you can go to the newspaper and pick up the sports section and read the stats, you already know how to read numbers. You can do that with the business section. And it's the same thing with fantasy football, fantasy basketball team. What do? You pick the best players from each team all around the league, right? No different than when they do the all-star basketball games. You're not taking the whole Cavaliers. You're just taking LeBron.
Right.
You're not taking the whole Golden State Warriors. You're just taking this one player or that one player, and you're assembling your team. And that's what you do when you invest.
That's a great analogy. That's a great analogy. That's a great analogy because what you do is you separate the wheat from the chaff. And so once you see what the lineup is, you just go in there and pick, you know, what's working, what's not working. A great analogy, Ione. A great analogy.
And we're already doing it.
Yes, exactly.
We don't get paid for it, but we're already doing it. So
exactly.
Thank you for that, because that was like a light bulb moment I just had. Like, look at the lineup. Pick these great companies and leave the rest.
Leave the rest.
Yeah, easily.
And to your point, better investing, if you start an investment club, they have tools called a stock selection guide, and that stock selection guide puts things in range. Once you put in the numbers, and it's very easy to understand how earnings and all this stuff works, once you put in the numbers, it comes out. It says, is it in the buy range, the hold range, or the sell range? It's not rocket science. What is the upside ratio? Is it 3-1 or better? Okay. What is the overall 5-year appreciation? I want to be able to make 20% on any investment every year. And so if you take a look at Madison is up 106% on Apple, and she's been in it over a year and a half. That's remarkable. 20% is great. 20% is remarkable. 106 is just crazy. But again, this is not rocket science. This is very simple, very easy, very methodical. You just have to have the desire to want to do it, to be committed to it, and to actually put your finances there and trust yourself. I've got a number of family members on the call who we have been working with together to understand, you know, the importance of investing in the market for ourselves. And there's only one thing that I ask, right? And so when we started the investment club with Akari, the Bronzeville Investment Club, Akari had already taken the red pill, right? I'm a movie fanatic, and my favorite movie is called The Matrix. And you all will hear me every now and then call Akari Neo. You know, I'm Morpheus, right? I'm looking for the guy who can look at The Matrix a different way and solve it, right? I know who he is. I'm just going to bring him to the oracle and say, this is the one, right? And so I just help them understand, here's how I did what I did, right? If you can do this and bring it to another level, as they said in the Matrix, you know, Neo said, do you mean I can dodge bullets? No, Neo. When you're ready, you won't have to, right? And so Akari, when he called me earlier this year and I went over and he says, Byron, I said, what, man? He's I'm at the mark. I'm at the mark. I'm no longer dodging bullets. And I knew what that meant. That meant that his assets and his portfolio had reached $1 million. And I was just peacock proud of that, because that's why I do what I do, right? And so he knows what I want in return. I want you to pass it on to the next person. I want you to bring somebody along. And so the family members that are on here already know that. And it's just a great thing when you do that, because you're empowering people in an area that they don't know nothing about and that we have been locked out of for so long for the lack of knowledge. And so the people perish for the lack of knowledge. And so that's when we started the Bronzeville Investment Club, my wife and I, who was the greatest stock picker and selection analyst that I know on earth. If I would have followed her more times than not, I would have more money than I have now, because she just looks at the SSGs and she looks at the guidelines.
Married to her.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, like my father said, if you're not smart enough to be a doctor, son, be smart enough to marry one. So I took that advice too, you know. And when we set up the Bronzeville Investment Club with Akari, you know, that was another nucleus of people that came together who knew nothing about the stock market, and they educated themselves. And the only thing that we ask is that you pay it forward, you pay it backwards, you pay it to the left, you pay it to the right, you pay it all around, you know. And so that was something that we do. And so whenever you know, if you're in our space, you know, we talk about 401ks, you'll get a lot of why I call him Neo. He went out and took what I did to a whole nother level. I said, Akari, here's how you can backdoor yourself into a Roth based on you not being able to do it with your salary. He came back and said, Byron, that was good, but check this out. I got a mega backdoor, you know. And so he did exactly what Morpheus wanted him to do. He was the one that would bring it to the next level. And there's a lot of Neos on this call in the making, so.
Well, that's perfect. I have to add two questions. One real quick. Is that how you got the name Oracle of Bronzeville?
Yeah, Akari gave me that name. Yep.
Shout out to Akari, man.
Yeah. Now, Oracle of Omaha, like Warren Buffett, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think, Byron, you are definitely the epitome and the living legend that. You know, like you said, training up not just Akari as a Neo, but a lot of other blacks, especially in the Chicago area and across the country, because the reach is wide. I mean, you know, people are reaching out to their families, putting them on
right.
the game. Like Akari mm-hmm. talked to us last week, you know, setting an example just by leading by example, but inviting all of the organizations that he touches to say, hey, let's come do this. We could do this together. And in the span of, you know, however many couple of years, been able to start 3 to 4 investment clubs. One quick question we have in the chat is, you know, someone wanted you, Byron, to talk a little bit about the Roth IRA and how important that is for people that are single and under, I guess, also maybe under certain and age
salary.
Range.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talk about that.
Yep.
And then I think they also asked the question of how does applying these stock picks benefit in retirement for the long term? I think you kind of touched on it, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you take a look at portfolios of people who have been investing and putting the practice together in terms of long-term investing over a long period of time, they're not day traders. You know, when I make a purchase of a stock, it's not, I don't say that I, you know, bought a stock. I made an investment. And that investment meant that when I looked at it, I made an investment saying that I want to stick with this thing for at least 5 years, right? I'm going to watch it every year. So what makes a great investment is that if you get 20% return every year on your investment, That makes a great investment. That was a question that I saw. So let me just fold that into a Roth. If you don't have a Roth, you need to get a Roth. A Roth is a beautiful thing. A Roth IRA, and look up Roth on Investopedia. But in short, basically, a Roth allows you to put money into it. You can put as much as $6,000 a year based on your salary. If you make too much, you can't, and you need to go through the back door like the rich and powerful do. Not that you can't, you just don't know some of these loopholes, but we know them, and we're happy to tell you about them. What Roth does is it's like a savings account, meaning that I put my money in, I buy stocks. Now, when I turn 59 and a half, Uncle Sam can't take any taxes out of that account, which means that if I put $1,000 in that account and it turned into $60,000 because I put it into Netflix, when I turn 59 and a half and I take out the money, guess how much taxes I got to pay? Zero. None. You do that in any other account. You do that in your after-tax account at work, you're going to pay taxes. Because Uncle Sam says, we delayed your taxes. You wrote it off because you saved pre-tax, but I'm going to come and get my money. Don't think you're not going to pay me my money. I'm going to come get my money. But that's not the case with a Roth. And that's why everyone needs to start a Roth now and start funding a Roth. If you think that you're going to live tomorrow, right, be proactive today. I'm not saying that you're going to make it to 59 and a half, but if you do, guess what? You're going to be extremely happy that you have that Roth and that you fed that Roth every chance and every year to the max. And a lot of 401ks offer what's called the ability to do a mega backdoor into a Roth. And we'll say that for another time. I'd like to come back and talk about just the power of 401ks and how to leverage that, because that's how I got my first million. Because I took my money out of mutual funds. I went to a self-directed model. I invested and built my own portfolio because my 401k allowed me to do that. And now Neo comes along and tells me, Byron, you know this 401k you got with Allstate where you do? It's got some tools in it. It's just going to blow your mind. And he did, you know. And so I'll come back and talk about that. But that's what a Roth is. The Roth has the power in terms of being tax-free money when you hit retirement.
Well, perfect. I just want to thank you so much.
Yeah, I think this is a very good point to do a commercial, because we have some people that came on a little late. We were talking about who we are as volunteers with Better Investing. Ione and I actually are a part of the South Florida chapter of Better Investing, which covers Gold Coast and Treasure Coast of Southeast Florida, and it includes Fort Pierce and all of that. But I also just want to make sure that people who might not know that we're volunteers. You know, we're not day traders. You know, we don't deal in penny stocks. You know, we don't teach buying on margin. We don't teach technical analysis or charting. We don't teach options trading. And we don't get paid for what we do. We're volunteers. And so when you hear that, I just want to make sure, Ione made the statement earlier, one of the reasons why we started this My Investing Story series was because many of us who have been investing for a long time, regardless of whoever we are, okay, we have to remember how we got started. And it was not all rosy. It was not all easy.
Right.
You know, it was a challenge. It was a problem. It was a lot of financial problems. And like many of us, we'll share the story that we had to learn. We've heard many people talk about $5, $20. That's how Ione and I started. Ione started with a piggy bank. And so since 1951, this organization has helped literally millions of individual investors learn how, from education, to invest. That's everything. That's what you're hearing. And so we're committed to teach and to share. And so I want to encourage all of you. We put the link in the post here. Please go to betterinvesting.org. Right now, Ione, I'm not sure how long Free membership is lasting, but there was a 90-day free membership that the organization was promoting. And so money is not an issue. The answer is education. And for those of you that are members that are interested in participating, if you check the link in the chat, if you are online, the organization was having, we were having our annual meeting in Dallas this year, right during the time of COVID, and that meeting was been changed to this month. So all those details are in the chat, and we'll also, Michelle, let's make sure we also put it in the Facebook group too, in the event that individuals want to become involved. And so I just want to share that and turn it back over. This has been a phenomenal show, and thank you so very much, Akari, because you were right on last week when you shared with us about Byron and what his part has done in spreading the message to all of you. We're just so grateful. And Byron, I think everybody out here would agree, we must have you to come back, because I've taken three pages of notes here while and it has been phenomenal. I see Ione lighting up like a light bulb. But I want to turn it back over to Ione, and thank you so very much. We have a lot of people listening in on the radio, online, and so we're streaming live in Facebook, and we're also posting on all of the different platforms and all of our social media. So we want to ask everybody, if you're listening to this, please like it, share it, and promote the information, and join us back here every single Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Next week is going to be another phenomenal young man that retired early and hit his million as a part of the Better Investing. So I'm not going to go into all of that and give everything away. But I just want to thank you, Byron. This has been phenomenal. So back to you, Ione.
You're quite welcome.
Well, thanks again, Byron. I'm going to do a quick share screen because I want to just get in the habit of showing people how easy this is. So if you can see my screen, you're going to see that I'm typing in betterinvesting.org. And this is what comes up when you come to the webpage. I'm not even logged on here. But when you come here, definitely come to learn about investing. Go to free videos. And right here, when people ask the question, how do we find our stocks? How do we do research on our stocks? You can easily go to watch this video. And it'll begin to basically play a presentation of how we do our research. The other thing I wanted to show really quickly is if you can go to the bottom of this page, go to free 90-day trial, and click there, you'll be able to access some of the resources that we have. So just wanted to share that really quick. Each week as we get on here, one thing to talk about I do want to start sharing so that people can visually know where to go, what does it look like, how do I get started. That being said, Byron.
Ione, wait 1 second. Ione, could you share that page one more time? There's one more key piece.
Yeah, you went a little fast, Ione.
There's one more key piece. Scroll up for me. Go back to the home page real quick. All right. Down there, do you all see somebody who looks very familiar called Stock Investment Club? That's the Bronzeville Investment Club. That's a Akari and crew right there.
Oh, click that.
Yep.
Bronzeville Investment Club.
Yeah, I just wanted to send a shout out.
Thank you, Byron. Thank you. Thank you for all your leadership. It wouldn't happen with you and Sharon.
Yes, thank
you.
Yeah.
Amen.
It was a great
thank
article,
you.
Too.
Yeah. Thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I might have to pull that up next week.
Yeah.
Actually show what month, what issue, so that when people do that 90-day membership, they can access the magazines and start reading the articles. Because so many of us that we're bringing to you here live each week have been featured one time or another in the Better Investor magazine. So it's a great way to connect. Great way to connect. So, Byron, I just want to give you a few of the last words. You have any parting words before we bring you back for part two, retiring as a multimillionaire, that's going to be the headline. Do you have any closing remarks for tonight?
Yeah, I just want people to understand that investing is a journey. It's not a sprint. You won't get there overnight. But I can guarantee you that if you put the principles in place in terms of investing in good, solid companies over the long haul, you will be financially free. I just want to thank Ione and Ann for giving us the opportunity to come before folks and talk about this, because it is a passion of mine. It has been for a long, long time, and I'm very passionate about, you know, financial freedom for folks within my circle and for them to spread it outside of that circle as well. So thank you all very much. Kari, thank you for inviting me out. You told me that Ann and Ione were just some super, super sisters, and you're absolutely right. This is a very powerful platform and very powerful message that's needed in a very powerful time. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on, and financial stability is one thing that we need to take control over, as well as a lot of things that are going on across the globe and in our community. So thank you all so much for having me.
You are so welcome. And as we end the show, as always, I want to give one shout out, because we're celebrating one person each week that did something toward their financial future. Carolyn ended up increasing her 401k to 10%. So congratulations to Carolyn. That's just
happy hand.
Out.
Yep, thank you. Great.
So,
Ann? Listen, I am so excited, and it keeps getting better and better and better. And for those of you that know Laurie Ingram, he will be our guest next week, Wednesday. And this is a young man that also retired early. But what he did was when he did his membership, he got involved with an existing multi-million-dollar investment club that was aging in our local area.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I only said this earlier, and I can attest for over 25 years of being involved, you cannot find a better place, especially, and I want to say this, And you know, we've been kind of sensitive, all of us going through the crisis. You know, this is not that show. But I will say this publicly for anybody who's listening to this. This particular organization, you will not find any better-hearted white that are literally colorblind to volunteering and helping you. And Akari spoke to that. Byron, you know, we didn't talk about that during the show, but I think that during this time of the crisis that, you know, sometimes we're touching and sometimes we're not, I just have to say that because Ione and I would not be sitting here having this conversation if it were not for volunteers who did not look like us that helped us and are still helping us today when we were, gosh, Ione was second grade, 7 years old. And so, you know, we're going to go through this, and all things are still working together for our good. And I just cannot be more proud to be a volunteer, you know, and sharing this message. And you hit it on the head, Byron, about financial empowerment. That's what we're discussing. We can empower what
right.
we become self-aware and also success conscious in our thinking. Once we start thinking, we've got to do something and take action. So I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. We're going to wrap the show up, and I tell you, you must not miss the show next week because this young man is phenomenal. So we're going to invite all of you back to join us, and we're going to encourage you to please register and become a volunteer, and also please do the membership when you. I think the paid membership I own is what, $60 or $70 a year, but you can become a member.
Not much. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can become a member now for free with the 90-day free membership. And I only showed you where you can get that at the bottom of the website on Better Investing. But that's all I have. So if you have any, no more questions or comments.
That's it. We wrapping up. Thank you.
On the radio and also on Facebook. So we'll see all of you next week, same time, same channel. All right, see you.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.